My, it's a pleasure to have you join us today. Whether it's over the broadcast or through these Bible study tapes, we're always so happy just to sit down with you and to speak about our Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Family Bible Hour. Today's message is entitled, Jesus, the Coming Savior. How thankful we are the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and He's coming back very, very soon. I've often said that the coming of Christ is not near, it's imminent. The signs are pointing ever so clearly to that day in the near future. And so you'll study this subject today under the leadership of Boyd Nicholson as he takes you back to our program 1968 and you enjoy the meditation of our cassette 205. It's our prayer you know the Lord Jesus is Savior and you are looking forward to His return from glory. So in the meantime, study His Word, appreciate Him for who He is and the fact He's coming soon, and I know the Lord will bless you. Now, to your books, your cassette, your study guide, may you know the Lord's nearness in a special way.
Thank you, Arnett. We ask God's blessing in our program today. We thank Thee, Father, in a dark world of difficulties and sorrows, there is a blessed hope that the Lord Jesus is coming again. We pray Thou will help us to look at this wonderful subject and bless Thy word in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. The Bible has many references to the fact of the Lord's coming from heaven. In the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was presented with a paradox: a Messiah who suffers when He comes, and a Messiah who reigns when He comes. So different were those two revelations that some Hebrew commentators decided that there must surely be two Messiahs. Indeed, those commentators identified them differently as Messiah ben Joseph, the suffering Messiah, and Messiah ben David, the reigning Messiah. Indeed, it was the revelation to Caiaphas, the high priest, before whom Jesus was brought, that it was not two Messiahs at all, but two comings of the same Messiah. The first coming in suffering and shame, and the second in power and in great glory. It was that revelation that brought the final eruption of hatred against the Savior, so that the people spat on Him, beat Him, and cried for His death. The second coming is the subject of many scriptures which confirm the fact. There's the word of the Lord Himself in such scriptures as John 14, where He says, "If I go, I will come again and receive you unto Myself." We have the word of the heavenly messengers in Acts chapter 1 at the ascension of the Lord Jesus. "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven." And there's also the word of the apostles, Paul, James, Peter, John, and Jude. This great event, the coming again of the Lord, was the hope of the early church. In the first epistle to the Thessalonians, we read that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven. This glorious coming is declared every Lord's Day, wherever the Lord's Supper is carried out according to the Scriptures. For we read in 1 Corinthians 11 that as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. When He comes, we will have the reality, and no longer will we need the symbol. The revelation of God is progressive, like a growing stream, and the Lord reveals that His second coming has two aspects: the first stage relative to the church and the world, the second stage relative to Israel and the nations. Relative to the church and the world, it will mean the catching away of the church out of the world and into the presence of the Lord, or, as it's commonly called, the rapture of the church. We can read about this in such scriptures as 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 58, and 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. Relative to Israel and the nations, the appearing of the Lord from heaven will mean the restoration of Israel and the judgment of the nations. This is clearly taught in many scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New. For example, Matthew 24 and 25. While there are many signs given for the latter aspect of this coming in glory and power to the earth, there are no further signs nor prophecies yet to be fulfilled before the first aspect of the coming, when the church will be cut away from the earth in a moment of time. This great earth-shattering event could take place before this broadcast is finished. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we read, the Lord Jesus will come for his church. That is, the true church, comprised of every believer in Christ, saved by grace through faith, and not of any works or efforts of his own, who are each indwelt by God's Holy Spirit and possess eternal life as a gift from God. Let me stop here a moment and ask the listener, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? If not, then make haste and turn from all your idols that have filled your heart. Receive the Savior by faith, and his promise says, as many as received him, to them give he the power or the right to become the children of God. We might ask, why is he coming again? The answer to this question is in John 14 and verse 3, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That is the reason. Where I am, there ye may be also. Where is he? The Bible says that he went back to heaven. Man's notions of heaven have been fictional and fabulous and, of course, unreal. God has not told us very much about that home of the soul, because it is so wondrous we just do not have the sensory equipment to receive such glorious information. But we do know from certain clear scriptures that heaven is a real place. It is no dream. The Lord Jesus came down from heaven. He spoke of heaven. He called men and women to go with him to heaven. He returned to heaven, and he will come again from heaven and take his true church into heaven, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Heaven is a beautiful place with no disfigurement. The capital city of heaven is described in Revelation chapter 21. It has the glory of gold, the radiance of light, and the beauty of precious stones. It's a holy place, for we read that no sin will ever enter there. It's a happy place, the home of the blessed God and the blessed of the Lord, and it rings with the holy laughter of his people. Heaven is a harmonious place, for there the beloved of the Lord find that their tongues are loosed and their voices cleared of every impediment as they sing the praises of the Lamb of God, who washed them from their sins in his own sacrificial blood. We read that in Revelation 1 verse 5. So then that is why he is coming, that we might be with him in the place he has gone to prepare. The next question we could ask is, what will he do when he comes for the church? We turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52 for the answer. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that is, the sleep of death, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, that is, the saved who are still living, shall be changed. What will he do? He will raise the dead bodies of all who have believed in him while they were on the earth. What a moment that will be. He will break through the blue and with a marshalling shout will call that vast sleeping army to awaken and move out to glory. He will sweep from the graves the precious dust of his saints, assemble them in glorified bodies before him, and call up from the earth all living believers to stand in glittering array before him, changed into his likeness, and be perfectly and fully conformed to his image, to represent him throughout the far reaches of his everlasting empires. What a wonderful day that will be, when we will say farewell to this old world, its toils, its tears, and be together with the Lord. What will he do? He will raise the dead, and he will change the living. But only those who are saved by grace will go. All Christ rejecters will be anchored to the world they have loved and lived for. God will allow them the projection of their own choice. They chose to live without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ. Then for those sad rebels, it will be no God, no Christ, forever and forever. One more question comes to us. Who is coming anyway? Down through history, he sent his angels to help his people. On special occasions, he sent Gabriel, the great angel. Once or twice, he sent the archangel Michael to do his will. But when it comes to bringing his bride, the true church, home to glory, it will be the Lord himself who shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. It will be this same Jesus, we read, who will come. The very same who was nailed to the tree will ascend to the throne. The one who was crowned with thorns in Gabbatha will be crowned with every diadem and glory. And the same blessed Saviour that has accompanied his weary people through their long wilderness journey on earth, he it is himself who will come for his own. Oh, dear listener, if you're still in your sins and far from God, repent. Turn from all your idols, your toys of dust and crumbling hopes, all your own religious notions, your petty works and useless penance. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith right now, just where you are. Trust him alone and his finished work on Calvary to put your sins away. If you do, he will keep his promise. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Then, if he comes today, you will join that glorious company, caught up, and be forever with the Lord. Midst the darkness, storm, and sorrow, one bright gleam I see. Well I know the blessed morrow Christ will come for me. Midst the light and peace and glory of the Father's home, Christ for me is waiting, watching, waiting, till I come. Oh, Father, we thank thee for the blessed hope. Help those of us who love the Lord Jesus to live in the light of it, pure and holy lives, that we may not be ashamed at his coming. For those who are not ready, may this moment they will turn to Christ and receive him and be ready for his coming. We pray, Father, for his glory and our joy, in his precious name. Amen.